and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
Now, we love it, don't we, when things turn up in unexpected places. So if you have a look under your chair right now, it's just possible that as well as the chewing gum that's probably under there, you might find something turning up in an unexpected places. There's a few gold coins around the place. Do be careful, though, because there may be chewing gum as well. If you found any, you can enjoy your first chocolate on Christmas Day, potentially. Now, we love it when chocolate turns up in unexpected places. We love it even more when people, unexpected people, turn up in unexpected places. So who can tell me who this is? Prince William, yeah, under his cap, selling a copy of The Big Issue. You probably wouldn't expect the heir to the throne selling The Big Issue on the streets of England. Or does anyone know who this guy is? Oh, goodness, who got it? Well done, very impressive. This is Joshua Bell, who I'm not particularly musical, I'm told he's a world-class violin player. And one day, a few years ago, he went to the metro station in Washington, D.C., and he started busking. Let's have the next picture up. Now, he was playing a $3.5 million violin. The night before, he'd sold out a massive venue in Washington where punters bought a ticket for $100 a piece. And yet here he was, and 1,000 commuters, it was an experiment they ran, 1,000 commuters wandered past listening to world-class music and had no idea, with the exception of that one woman who watched in rapt attention, recognized him even under the cap, recognized him and watched in rapt attention for 45 minutes. Anyone want to guess how much he made in tips? He played for an hour. $30. $30 in tips. There, last Christmas, Frank and I were minding our own business in Tetbury, a pretty anonymous town in the Cotswolds. And we walked into a shop, and Frankie noticed men with earpieces, but I was completely oblivious. And I walked up to this quite elderly and quite small man looking at a shelf, and I thought to myself, he looks familiar. And it turned out to be now King Charles, our king. Remarkable. So we went outside and waited with the crowds, and Frankie snapped him as he came out. Perhaps you might be thinking to yourself, most unexpected of all would be my brother or my dad or my uncle or my granddad, who is an absolute weapon in the kitchen, standing at a stove later on for Christmas lunch. or my child, who's never normally seen anywhere near the sink when washing up time has come around, standing at the sink doing the washing up later on after lunch. But amidst all of those unexpected people in unexpected places, the first Christmas story has the most extraordinarily unexpected person turning up in the most extraordinary unexpected place of all. And to help us see that, we're going to watch, with the help of some Lego characters, we're going to watch a retelling of that first Christmas story now. So over to the video.
A long time ago, before Christmas began, God's people were waiting for God's special plan. And they'd wondered for years how this plan would unfurl, till an angel appeared to a young teenage girl. Though Mary was troubled, the angel proclaimed, "You found favor with God. Do not be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Call his name Jesus. The King has now come." "I am the Lord's servant," she said in belief. But when Joseph found out, he was filled up with grief. For Mary and Joseph had not yet got married. What would people think of this baby she carried? An angel of God came to him in a dream and helped Joseph see it was not as it seemed. It was God's Holy Spirit that brought life within. This baby had come to save people from sin. So Joseph and Mary and baby-to-be set off to Bethlehem, as was decreed. But when they arrived, there was nowhere to stay. No more rooms to be found for this babe on the way. And then soon the time came. She gave birth to a son. The long-promised king had now finally come. And they weren't in a palace, all cozy and warm. Where the animals feed was where this king was born. And while crowds in the town were all still fast asleep, there were shepherds nearby, watching over their sheep. Until something disrupted the darkness of night, an angel appeared and the sky filled with light. The glory of God all around them displayed, the angel declaring, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy. The Saviour is born as a baby, a boy." The shepherds saw angels sing glory and peace, and they said to each other, "Now let's go and see." They hurried to find this great king of the Jews. Then in awe and amazement, they spread the good news. Now far in the east, men most clever and wise had seen a strange star that was starting to rise. They knew that a king was the cause of this star, so they set off to find him and followed it far till it stopped at the place where the boy would be found. And in wonder and worship, they humbly bowed down. They opened their treasures. And what did they bring? But frankincense, gold, and myrrh for a king. A king who was little. A king who could cry. Who was fragile and feeble and one day would die. The powerful king who'd been promised for years, who would share in our suffering and take up our tears. For though he was rich, God chose to be poor. He made himself nothing so we could be sure that God is now with us. The king has come near. Good news for all people. Jesus is here.
So come with me again to those shepherds who've been in the hills, hear about a saviour that's been born, and they go down into the town and they find the place where Jesus has been born, and they walk in and see animals, and there's Mary and Joseph very young, and they walk to the manger, which is a feeding trough, that's what it means. They walk to the feeding trough, And perhaps they kneel down in front of it, and perhaps a goat nibbles on their finger. Perhaps they feel the breath, the warm breath of the cow as it munches on the straw next to them. And they look down, peer down into the feeding trough, and what do they see? They see a tiny, tiny, tiny baby. I don't think I'll ever get used to how very small children are when they're first born. And all he can really do is cry and eat and sleep. He can do nothing for himself. And here's what is so unimaginably unexpected. That tiny baby is the Lord, is God with us, is the one who was rich, who became poor, is God, made himself nothing. Now, to help us understand what that means, I need a volunteer. So Elliot kind of kindly volunteered to help out Elliot. So Elliot, up you come. Now, we're going to play a game of Top Trumps, Elliot, or a sort of version of Top Trumps. Now, here they are, and there you go. And why don't you come over here, actually, and I'll go here. Now, who have you got, Elliot? Who have you got?
As in my first, a baby.
They're all the same, actually. You've got a baby. Oh, okay, I've got God. Unlucky. Let's see how it goes, okay? So the idea, you know how Top Trumps works, you kind of score it. So the first attribute we've got is size. So I've got God, so I'm size 100 plus. It should be infinity, really, but for the purposes of the game, size 100 plus. What have you got, Elliot?
It's a close one, but 0.3.
0.3, okay. Well, I'm afraid I get that one. Thanks. That makes sense, doesn't it? A baby is, on average, 3.5 kilograms heavy when they're born, or 8 pounds. And you know you're meant to know. Someone says a newborn and they're this weight. And you're meant to know if that's a good weight or a bit underweight or a bit overweight or whatever. I never do, so I looked it up. Apparently, an average baby, 3.5 kilograms, is like this. Some sugar and some flour. That's how much a baby weighs when they're first born. God himself is infinite. He is everywhere all the time. There is nowhere that God is not. So, if you manage to get to the bottom of the Mariana Trench without being crushed by the pressure, by the crushing pressure, 7 miles deep in the Pacific Ocean, if you manage to get to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, God would be there. So, God wins that one. Let's go again. So, we've moved on to knowledge. Now, again, I'm 100 plus on knowledge, Elliot. How are you doing on that one?
It's not getting any better than 0.1.
0.1, okay. Well, I win that one again. This is... I like winning, so this is a good game for me. Again, that makes sense, doesn't it? Knowledge. God knows everything there is to know. He knows the biggest stuff, how many stars there are in the universe, how you make both nuclear fusion and nuclear fission work. He knows the really personal stuff, what you're like, what you're not like, what you dislike, what you love, what you're really scared about happening, what you're nervous about for 2023. He knows the really little stuff. How many molecules are made up in that stand? A baby, well, I don't really know what a baby knows, but I suspect it knows when it's kind of hungry and perhaps tired and perhaps feeling neglected because it cries. Okay, let's go, last one. Power. Again, I'm surprising, I'm 100 plus on that one, Elliot. How are you doing on that one?
80? No, 0.1. 0.1?
Oh, you lose again, Elliot. I'm so sorry. Thank you. You've been brilliant. You can go and have a seat. Again, power makes sense, doesn't it? A baby can cry. And to be fair, a baby's cries are quite effective on occasion. A baby can cry, but the God of the universe can do absolutely everything. He upholds all of reality by the word of his power. So again, God wins. But here is what is most extraordinarily unexpected. That the God who is infinite, eternal, awesomely powerful, became a baby at that first Christmas time. Just think about what that means for just a second. Just dwell on your heads if you can possibly imagine something so unexpected. That means that infinity was reduced to infancy. It means that omnipotence surrendered to incontinence. Two big words. Omnipotence, God can do everything. Incontinence, you can't even decide when to go to the toilet for yourself. It means the one who knows all things did not even know his own name. It means the one who had no start and no end, became confined in time and tense. It means the one who holds the stars in his hands was held in his mother's arms. It means the one who knows what lies where space has run its course confined himself to a baby's mind. That is mind-bending, mind-blowingly unexpected. Now, I don't know if you'll have anything unexpected happen to you today on Christmas Day. I hope not. I hope it's all the expected, glorious things. But I hope you have lots of things that you're excited about coming today. Perhaps it's the food. I'm really looking forward to roast dinner. Actually, tomorrow, two roast dinners for me, today and tomorrow. Perhaps it's the food. Perhaps you're really looking forward to a game that you play every Christmas time. And perhaps you can't wait for the first King's speech. It's exciting, one of many, God willing. Perhaps you're looking forward to port and cheese later once the chaos has died down. Perhaps you're looking forward to a little bit of peace and quiet on a mid-afternoon walk as you try and walk off those roast potatoes. I've got one thing to add for you today, one thing to be excited about, one thing to do, perhaps when you give thanks for the food at lunchtime, perhaps as you stir the gravy today before lunch, perhaps as you're waiting for your food, and maybe it'll be hours yet before you get to eat, perhaps as you're out for a walk for a bit of peace and quiet, or perhaps as your head hits the pillow as you go to sleep tonight, one thing to do, to join the shepherds in going to the feeding trough where that tiny baby lay, eyes closed, tiny hands, tiny little feet, to gaze and look and wonder at the most unexpected of unexpected things that has ever happened, the infinite, eternal God made a baby helpless in a manger. And as you look and think to yourself, do as the shepherds and the wise men did, and praise and glorify and bow to the God of the universe. For all hail the infinite, infant God. Amen.